God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Why are you going to let some kind of description from a law or from some other place determine who you are? You are precious to Almighty God.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
All right, so we will continue with our series of lessons on 12 revelations for supernatural living. 12 what? Revelations for supernatural living. In our first segment, we focused on the revelation on prosperity in salvation. You have to have a revelation. We defined that the word revelation is an understanding not from the human perspective, but from God's perspective. Amen. You remember the story in the book of Matthew 16 when Jesus asked the people, "Who do men say that I am?" Then they began to tell him what people thought about Jesus. And then he asked the disciples, "What about you?" Peter, in the midst of it, makes a very profound statement, which is something Peter did not know before Jesus asked the question. Because heavens were open and God popped the thing into his spirit. And it was a revelation. That is what we are seeking. So I don't come here with a lot of book. I come here from much prayer. Whole of this week, I stayed home to cry to God, open my eyes as I begin a new set of things. So whenever we sit to study, please don't take it lightly. I don't come here with a bunch of book. If all the things I studied in seminary, if I teach you, you'll be confused. I have to teach you what I believe God is downloading in my spirit. Amen. So our first segment was the revelation on prosperity in salvation. We understood that prosperity is not to be pursued. We have to pursue the kingdom of God and be in alignment with the governmental laws. And prosperity automatically what? Follows. Are you guys with me? Therefore, the child of God must understand your pursuit in life is? Come on, talk to me. Your pursuit in life is the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. If you are in alignment with governmental authority, which is God himself, then God is obligated to make sure that you do well. Amen. Today we're going to go into the second segment. It's 12 revelations. So I'm on the second one now. And I'm going to begin today. And it will be a revelation on the preciousness of souls. Let's all say that together. Revelation on the preciousness of souls. In other words, understanding that people matter to God. You are a precious soul to God. So let us be careful how we treat people. And let me make an appeal. Be careful how you treat pastors too. Because sometimes you all behave like we are not human beings. And pastors also behave that some church members, maybe they are not cool heads, but they are still human beings. And you all know I've been very patient because I understand that people are precious to God. If you mess around with people, God will put you on. He will pack you real quick and use somebody else. Amen. The preciousness of souls. Raise your right hand and say this with me. I am a precious soul. Come on, say it like you mean it. I am a precious soul. Amen. Putin is a precious soul. Saddam Hussein is a precious soul. Now, that thing must sink deep into your spirit. You cannot look at people and say, these are devils. God made them, and they are precious. They are misbehaving, but they are precious souls. Are you a precious soul? They are too. Amen. And if that understanding does not come, when you open your mouth and pray for Ukraine, you ask God to kill Putin. But I'll pray that God save the soul of this man in the midst of his craziness. Are you understanding me? Now, next week's lesson is so pivotal. You will understand why souls or human beings are precious to God. Because God is going to use us to colonize the earth, you and me. We are very pivotal, either to the kingdom of God or to the kingdom of darkness. You can't be in the middle. God needs you. Raise your right hand and say this, Lord, I thank you that you need me. Do you realize how many times we sin and God keeps coming back to us? Because he needs you. But today we want to establish the fact, all right? The lesson will go on three things. Please write it down. First of all, we're going to talk about the scriptural affirmations, what God has said in his word concerning how that you and I, all humans, all 7.8 billion of us are precious to him. The scriptural affirmations of our preciousness to God. Secondly, we will talk about the divine reasons why God says you are precious to him. Why Satan is also going after you. You are a precious individual. Never take it lightly. And then the third part, we will deal with our response. If we are precious to God, what ought to be our response? Should it be that we live anyhow? Or we ought to do things the right way? So today we're going to begin the journey. Are you ready to do that? Now, today I'm going to be very basic. I will simply walk you through the scriptures, all right? Scriptural affirmations of our preciousness in the sight of God. Scriptural. Have you ever felt that you are not worthy? Maybe growing up, a group of people didn't like you. Anybody who's been there? Have you got to that place where maybe in your work environment, you think everybody is good but you? You feel that you are inadequate. Today, your deliverance is imminent. You are very precious. You are very what? Precious. You are very key to God's agenda. That is why Satan doesn't like you. And I want us to fully go through God's word and understand this. The first thing I want us to look at is from the first book of the Bible, that all humans, right, were created in a way that is distinct from the rest of creation. The way God created you, the way God created humans, we are completely what? Distinct from the rest of creation. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we will look at a few verses. I will start from verse 3. In Genesis 1:1, we all read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in verse 3, God begins the actual creation process. Read with me verse 3, shall we? Go. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So how did God create light? He simply what? Spoke it. God teaches us a principle that in life, the things you speak are creative. So speak life. So what? Speak life. Words are creative. If you keep saying, I will die, you will die. Verse 6 is the next thing God creates. Look there with me. Let's read. Ready? Read. Then God said, let it be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water. Verse 9. Read with me again. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So far, has God used anything else apart from words? He's just speaking the things into place. And if you were made in his image, it means you have the ability to speak things. So when the people said the gas prices are too high, keep your mouth quiet and declare my tank will be filled. Amen. Verse 11. Come on, read with me. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with the seed in it according to their kind. And it was so. Wow. So even trees, he spoke them. He spoke the sea. He spoke the expanse of the sky. All right. Verse 14. Let's go. Then God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Day will serve as signs for seasons and for days and for years. If you continue reading, he shows you that God made the moon, and then he made. So these things, he spoke them. He didn't use anything else but his words. Are you following me? Somebody said, oh, but Pastor, you could have just said it. No, I'm very fundamental in the way I teach, so I want to walk you through. Okay? All right, look there with me also now in verse 20. Read with me. Ready? Go. Then God said, let the water swim with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So he created all the sea creatures, the big ones, the small ones, everything. He speaks, and in a split second, all of them show up. Awesome. Verse 24. You got it? Let's read that. Ready? Read. Then God said, let the earth produce according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kind. And it was so. So things like all the creatures that crawl. Give me some examples. Snakes? Uh-huh. Lizard? Uh-huh. Come on, people. Pastor, be serious. I am very serious. I'm just trying to show you how these animals, these creatures, were just spoken into existence. That is the God you serve. It was just what? Spoken. Verse 26. Please make sure you're reading this one with me. Ready? Read. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Please notice in verse 1, in the beginning, God created. Everybody say God created. The Hebrew word that is used is the word bara, meaning that he made it out of nothing. When he gets to this verse, he says, and God created again. This time, he creates out of something. He takes the earth, molds it. And that leads me to my second point. And he breathed into his nostrils. So it is only human beings who has the breath of God. So we are not only distinct from all the other creations, we were not just spoken into existence. God had to actually go to work and put you together. And then he breathes into man. The Hebrew phraseology is that God ruach. In other words, he puts his pneuma, his spirit. He breathes on us his breath. And we become a living soul. So it is not oxygen that makes you a living soul. It is the breath of the Almighty that sustains you. I remember the other day Diana shared, as a nurse, she used her experience to remind us that even if they give you the highest level of oxygen, sometimes the people still what? The only reason I'm taking time to become fundamental is that I want this knowledge to move from your head into your heart. The distance between your head and your heart is 18 inches. Let it travel across it. Let it get in there. Because I know we know, but the problem is it's not sinking. So you walk around, somebody looks at you, and he gives you an N-word, and you are angry. You can call me anything you want, but I am a child of the King. I don't care how you address me. I am who God says I am. And your words don't matter. Are you hearing me today? The first construction company I work for in this country, people told me in the hierarchy of that company, there is nobody from my side of the world and you're not going to make it. I got in and I made it. The words came, but most of the time I did not mind them. One day, one of the other people asked me, why is it that you are not reacting? Please forgive me. I said this in Twi to him, and he asked me, interpret. So let me do it the same way. I regret doing it. In other words, I am saying that if you are dealing with me and I'm not responding, you got to be an animal to keep doing it. Because if you're a real human being, I must respond. If I don't respond, you need to stop. Are you following me? And the guy said, wow, that's how you see us. I said, no, that's how I see any human being who is constantly putting another person down and the person is not responding, they keep doing it. If all of Africa, we are poor, why does everybody put us down? Think seriously about it. He that is down. So if you are truly down, why does somebody want to keep you down? Because it is a perception that you are down, but you are not what? Down. What I'm trying to show you is that the labels that have been given do not matter. You have the breath of the Almighty on the inside of you. That is what makes you who you are. Are you following me? So we have been created distinctively, and it is the breath of God that keeps us alive. Psalms 139 will be my third point. Every human life was planned by God. Even those who came out of a result of rape, your life has been planned. I know you will not understand that truth because it will sound like, so God planned something like that? Every human life was planned by God. Maybe my father was following his desire in going to sleep with another woman so they can make me, but God planned me. You are not a mistake. I want it to stick. You are not that. Tell the person sitting next to you, you are not a mistake. Are you in Psalms 139? Listen to the words of King David. Psalms 139, reading from the 13th to the 16th verse. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You see, science did not create the process. Sometimes when we talk about science, we make a mistake of trying to make it look like it is the scientist that brought the thing up. No. Scientists only discovered it. Nobody created aerodynamics. God created it. We discovered it. Are you with me? Have you seen a doctor who has created a human heart before? They are cloning things. Have they been able to make a heart? Have you sat down to think through how is it in the world that, think about it, spirit and matter, and they are able to mesh together. There's got to be somebody else making this thing work. Where are we? Psalms 139 from verse 13 to verse 16. Verse 14, David says, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Would you say that with me? I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Come on, say that again. I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Remarkably and wondrously. You are a wonder. I said you are a wonder. And that definition does not come from a human. It comes from God himself. David is saying, when I look at it, I can tell I'm a wonder. Now, where are the nurses and the doctors? Can you fully explain how a child gets into the womb? And all you do is you only explain the process. But how the whole thing really happens, you can't. But God said, I created one. And everything I create produces after its kind. He made it one time. And then he put a process in place for a reproduction to continue. And he says, whenever, David said, when I was being made in the deep depths of the earth, your hands was reaching out. In fact, if we continue reading, he says, you took your book like an artist, the one that paints, and you began to paint. His height will be like this. Don't go after it. At least by now, we all know height. I am as tall as I am, and that's how tall I will be. This can change it. God took his time. Now, if you did something, gave it to a person, came back and realized that they have changed it, what would you say? Talk to me. What would you say? They don't like it is the mild way. What is the other one you're all refusing to say? You will be angry. You'll be offended. Yet we expect God to be quiet and look at us having all kinds of changes. I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. Verse 15, are you in Psalms 139? It says, my bones were not hidden from you. So he's talking about the structure. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret. So he's saying that we are always made in. When I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. Now, if you were formless and his eyes saw you, what did he see? It's only God who is capable of seeing something that does not have a form. We human beings, the only thing we see must have a form. I think I was sleeping and I saw something. And you will always be able to put some form of description to the thing. Because as natural beings, we only see what has a form. But God has the ability of seeing you before you were actually formed. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Why are you going to let some kind of description from a law or from some other place determine who you are? You are precious to Almighty God. Your eyes saw me. I'm reading verse 16 again. Psalms 139. The 16th verse. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book. All my days were written in your book and planned. All my days were written in your book and planned. In other words, all your days, the days you will live on earth, it has already been planned. The number of days you will live on earth has been planned. The problem is we don't know. Anybody told you they know, they are lying to you. So this is why you need to be careful. Could it be that one day you can get up, go to work, and never get back home? Then why do we live our lives as if we have all the days on earth? If you all knew I would be dead after church, what will you do whilst I'm preaching this morning? hug. I need more than a hug. But I'll take it. What will you do? Come on, talk to me. You record me. You want to have some time with me. Husbands and wives, please. This is a nice advice. You don't have each other forever. You don't. So quit some of the fight and have fun. Your days have been planned. Enjoy them while they are alive. Instead of when they bring a casket, you come and stand here and say, I miss them. Meanwhile, you fought them a few minutes ago. I am not just saying you. We are in it together.
Yes, Pastor. Preach on.
All my days have been written in your book and planned. So whatever you go through, God knows it and God will use it for his purposes. Now listen to me. Please write this down. Anything that happens to you so painful that God allows, he will use it. If he cannot use it, he will not allow it. If you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham lied how many times? Two. And his son Isaac lied too. And as for Jacob, is mumu. But when Abimelech was going to take Sarah, God did not allow that because he couldn't work that one into his will. If he cannot work something in his will, he will pause it. If something happens to you, it means he can use it. All my days were written in your book and planned, and before a single one of them began. So God saw the end from the beginning. Why are you living life as if all of hell is against you? When God himself has a book and he has you planned in there. And he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good, not evil, to bring you to an expected end. Please, he said expected end. He doesn't tell us the in-between. Because sometimes in the in-between, people won't like you. In the in-between, you will not have money to eat. In the in-between, there will be painful moments. It was Jesus who asked his disciples a question one time. He said to them concerning the woman who was bent over. Before he asked them a question about the woman, he asked them a couple of things. He says, in a city, there was a tower that broke and many people died. And he asked them, the people who died, was it because of their sins? And the disciples said, yeah, we think so. Because it's human nature for always to think, because of your sin, that's why that is happening. And Jesus says, no, because life in itself is falling. Evil is everywhere. Then he flipped the question around and said, those who survived the breaking down of the tower, was it because of their righteousness that they survived? Now the disciples could not answer. And Jesus said, no, it wasn't because of their righteousness. It's all his grace. Don't walk through life sharing tears as if you are hopeless. Your life has been planned. And the plan is going to end in a place that is good.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.